Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to the PCAST. We're excited for those of you who are on the line with us today because we know that if you're here, you're here on purpose, and we're very excited about that. We are, I tell you, just having such an awesome time this year with all of the things that God has blessed us to actually have as a part of the ministry, and with some of the new classes that we have been having over the internet radio and just some things that we have planned. I know that you will continue to be so blessed by what it is that God is doing. And I tell you that it's been blessing me. And, you know, I am not just because of the fact that I have the opportunity to be a part of the ministry portion of the ministry doesn't mean that I don't get an opportunity to get blessed by ministry. And so this has been such an awesome display of God's glory through humans by what it is that he's allowed us to experience. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to anything that you've missed, any of the broadcasts that you know you were supposed to be a part of and you just weren't able to get on the line, or something happened where your schedule got kind of switched around. It is important that you go back and you listen to those broadcasts because they have so affected most of the people that I know that have been listening. They have affected their lives in a very positive light. And we try to post all of the notes through our different blogs, and we have several. And so we want to make sure that you know about those, you know, that the PCAST is actually a part of Kingdom Coaching, and you can find the information that we provide on a weekly basis. Usually we post it within a day or so of the broadcast, and it's available to you on pastorpatience.com. You can get the information from the broadcast that we have on Tuesdays, Living Life Well, by going to pastorpatience.org, because the Living Well Network is that blog is available to you by clicking on to pastorpatience.org. We do have and make available to you also the information that's provided to us on Thursdays, our Vibe Network, and we have a new blog that's going to be coming out within the next week that is the Vibe Network blog, and we want you to be able to get access to that as well. So we'll let you know the URL, you know, over the next few days. You'll start hearing about that, and you'll know how you can gain access to the notes and everything that's being presented and provided from Pastor Jeff Merton, right there at on that particular blog. And you'll be able to get some other information too that'll be a blessing to you. Vibe is our, if I can just give you a plug, and we'll play the impact announcements in a few minutes, but it's our actual time that we come together and give instructions and directions to those who God has called to be entrepreneurs in the kingdom. And so it's important, because we live in the earth realm, that we learn how to manage things in the earth realm accordingly, and how to assert our influence, which we're going to talk about a little bit today in a few minutes as we continue with our series that we've been doing on All Systems Go, Making the Most of Who You Are and What You Have. But you know, we want you to be able to get access to everything that God has given you. There have been some nuggets there that you just can't miss. And so we're going to go back and repost all those notes on the Vibe blog once it's out. And we'll, you know, give you the information so that you can go and see those notes and download them or copy and paste them or however you need to get them to your email, so that you'll have access to them. And also you'll be able to listen to all of the previous broadcasts. We are available right now on iTunes. And so those of you who have iTunes on your computer, you can be listening to this as a podcast. And that's really important for you to know, because sometimes you might want to go back and listen to some of the previous broadcasts, and you want to have you know, access to it in the same place where you listen to all of your other music and, you know, other, see your movies and things of that nature. Well, you can always go to iTunes and look us up online. You can just go in and look up Kingdom Coaching, or you can also look up the PCAST. You can pull up Impact Ministries worldwide, because it'll bring you into getting access to the previous broadcast for our Sunday night and Tuesday night services as well. So we want you to have that information, because sometimes you may not be able to make it on the line and you want to go back and listen again. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com and look for us there. The PCAST is blogtalkradio.com/PCAST, and Reload is /Reload. And so, you know, you can gain access to all of the broadcasts that we have provided by going and listening there. Well, we're going to go ahead and roll the impact announcement so you can find out what else we have available. And then when we come back, we're going to continue with a series that we have been in entitled All Systems Go, Making the Most of Who You Are and What You Have.
Currently, the weekly schedule of activities and events for Impact Worship Centers and Impact Ministries worldwide are as follows. Please note all listed times are Central Standard Time. Come be a part of Sunday Resource, our premier Sunday service for Impact Worship Center, each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Join us each Monday at 12 noon for the Clergy Connection Experience, our official prayer and inspiration time for the consummate clergy connection. The Clergy Connection extends to you an invitation to First Monday Clergy Prayer, each first Monday night at 7 p.m. Tuesday is Consecration and Wellness Day at Impact Ministries Worldwide. We pray, meditate, and fast each Tuesday until sundown. For more information on our consecration procedures and fasting protocols, visit our prayer247365.org prayer portal. Again, that's prayer247365.org. Catch Living Life Well with Pastor P for our 15-minute weekly broadcast dedicated to helping us learn to live life unquestionably free of disease, displeasure, disorder, doubt, deficiency, and dread. Midweek Reload. Join us for our innovative and provocative approach to revealing the relevancy and reliability of the Word of God on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Watch out, it's habit for me. Tune in to the PCAST each Wednesday at 12 noon as we learn how to become more confident and more competent in our kingdom living. Calling all entrepreneurs, inventors, company owners, manufacturers, senior management, business leaders, developers, creators, composers, arrangers, authors, and the like for our valued interaction and business exchange. Please pray with us each Thursday at 12 noon and watch God turn your business concerns inside out. Friday is Family Day at Impact Ministries. Join us Fridays at noon for 15 minutes of inspiration, education, and motivation on the Pros Radio Show, followed immediately by our Fit Family Prayer. Radiance Fellowship and V2 Men's Fellowship both meet monthly on the third Saturday of the month. Radiance begins at 10 a.m. and V2 meets at 6 p.m. Join us each third Saturday for Radiance Women's Fellowship and V2 Men's Fellowship. You can also call in to our regularly scheduled worship services, Bible studies, and prayer services to our toll-free number at 888-405-9785. Again, that's 888-405-9785. Don't forget to press pound to be connected to the service currently in progress. That will be all of our weekly announcements here on Impact Radio for Impact Ministries Worldwide.
Well, we're back, and I tell you, we are just so excited. I have a couple more announcements just to make sure that you all know some of the things that you can be looking forward to. Most of you are aware that we do have a website entitled icanhavehope.org, and that website is designed as an evangelism tool to minister to people who are in need of encouragement. It's available for anyone to use. If they have someone that they want to minister to and they want to share the gospel with, but yet they don't know how, they can use their phone or their iPad or their computer and go right online, and there's a ministry tool there that would allow them to share the gospel. And if they don't remember all the scriptures are there for them to find, and they're posted right there. They can see them. They don't have to flip through a Bible. They can just read right through it, and it gives them the plan of salvation and to know how they can come to know God. There's also about four or five movies that they can sit there and watch, really short movies, that just also shares the gospel with them and tells them how God loves them. It tells them how they can have hope, why they should have hope, and what hope is and what hope is not. It also provides them with information so they can learn how to be filled with the Spirit of God and how to live an abundant life. We do have some resources available on that website that gives them information if they're in the DFW area, so they'll know where to find help if they need it for different types of things that they might be experiencing. Well, something new that's coming, look for it within the next couple of weeks. We are going to be putting up our new website, which is going to be our help website. And it will parallel the I Can Have Hope website, but on our help website, it will be full of resources where people can go and find help when they need it. The one thing that we are admonished to do, and we're going to talk about that today in our broadcast, but we are admonished to operate in compassion and to do good and to be a blessing to those, especially of the household of faith. But we want to make sure that we can reach them in many, many different ways. And so we have the availability of the internet. A lot of people are on the internet, and we want to market these websites through Twitter, through Facebook, and all of the different ways that people are getting access to things on the internet. We want to put up things on Craigslist to let them know that they don't have to live lives that are not worth living, that God has a way. God has something for them, and if they would just avail themselves for a few minutes to hear what it is that he has, I guarantee you that they'll be hooked. Well, we want to just make sure that you know about those things, because you, the people who listen to this broadcast, the people who come and listen later, the people who tweeted and tell other people about it, if you know where the resources are available, you'll share it, and I know that others will be able to gain access to it because of your faithfulness. Well, today, we're going to go ahead and continue talking about how to make the most of who we are and what it is that we have. We really are excited about the fact that God has given us this new level of putting our systems on go. And we've learned a lot about what we need to do with our physical bodies. We know that our bodies are just the what hosts our spirit and our soul. We live in the body, but we're not the body. And so the real us, the part of us that comes to know the Lord, the part of us that has been shaped by the Holy Spirit to become who it is that God needs us to be, that's the us that is what I would say God's influence in the earth realm. And we need to understand what that is. And we're going to talk about that today in a very real way, because you need to be aware of who it is that God has called you to be to the earth realm. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and these you can find on YouVersion. We did post the notes there today, and if you got into the notes right before 12 o'clock, you might want to refresh your screen, because there were some other notes that did not post up until right at 12. So refresh your screen to make sure that you get the latest information there. But it says here, Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, "Therefore," and I'm reading from the New International Version, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." One of the things that I want you to understand is that when we've been talking about putting all of our systems on go, making the most of who we are and what it is that God has given us, or maximizing our existence in the earth realm, we've talked a lot about different things. We spoke of the fact that God has given us some gifts. When we were born, he put us in this earth realm, and he gave us his divine nature. And in having that, we have the ability to operate in his character and to have a certain level of behavior that would demonstrate who he is and that we are his. We also talked about our personality being something that God has given us, and we have to manage it in such a way that people are able to receive us and understand who God has made us to be in the earth realm, and that we shine. God created us to shine. I mean, he has said that the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. And so God, we talked about that a lot last week, the fact that God has made us in such a way that we will outshine those who we may be standing next to purposefully so that he will get the glory and he will get the honor. It's not for us, it's for him. And that he would be able to draw and attract people to him through us. And so as we're reading here in Matthew, we understand that we have a mandate, or we have a great commission. That's what the scripture is called. And that we are supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. But we cannot make disciples of people who don't want to follow us. And so we're going to talk about, last week you spoke about our resources and the fact that those are some of the things, along with our character, along with our personality, along with our behavior, those things are the things that God has given us to draw people to him. Well, another area that we can maximize in is our influence. Last week we talked about maximizing in our resources. We're going to talk about influence today because it's important for you to understand that people are watching you. They are looking at how you deal with life. They're looking at how you deal with the things that are affecting you on a daily basis. When you have things that happen in your life that are not great and wonderful, even though they're working together with other things for your good, they may not be good inherently when they happen. They may feel bad. They may look bad. It may not give God the best reputation if they looked at that one isolated event. But God has given us the ability to even maximize our mistakes, even maximize the things that we've done to that don't necessarily feel good or look good. He can give us some way of dealing with those issues and shedding light on those issues with others or to others so that they could see him operating in us and come to know him as even being a corrector of those who have made mistakes. Matthew 5:13-14 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." God has created us specifically to shine because he wants his influence to be noticed. He doesn't want us to hide. He doesn't want us to be insignificant or mediocre. He has created us to be excellent. He's created us to cause others to come to know him in a very real way, and he wants us to do that through our influence, okay? And so I want you to understand that. We're going to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to jump into something here that I believe is going to really bless you. Hebrews 10, and it's 10:24-25. I know in the notes it says 10:1, but it actually should be 10:24-25, and it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." It is our responsibility to actually confirm within each other the word of God, to affirm each other, to encourage each other, to inspire, to motivate. Those are all God's intentions in us, that we would look at our brothers and our sisters in the kingdom and lift them up and pull them out of things that they may be dealing with that may seem very harmful or very difficult. And we have to understand that, and one other scripture I'm going to throw in here, Ephesians 6:7-8 tells us that with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. We have to understand that when we give encouragement to anyone, when we inspire, when we motivate, when we bless someone in such a way, God is going to make sure it's the same thing comes back to us, and we will receive it of him. You may not get the same thing that you've given out from a person, you know, or that person. It's always going to come back, but it will come back sometimes differently than what you sent it out. So you must understand that. Now, the definition of leadership is the intentional or unintentional exercise of the power of your influence in the world in which we live. We understand that we're in the kingdom of God, but the influence that God has given us and the exercise or the management of that influence, intentionally or unintentionally, is what it is that God has given us to operate in as leaders. our ability to influence the direction and the decisions of others in a godly fashion is God's plan for each one of us as a kingdom citizen. He wants us to be able to manage our influence in such a way that we can help to direct someone in the right path. We can give them just a simple word or what it is that God has told us to share with them, or for that matter, we can model it in front of them so they can see it, pick it up, do it, and it will cause their life to move in a godly fashion as it should, as opposed to moving maybe in a different direction or not moving at all. And the thing that we really want you to understand today is when we're talking about influence, I want you to understand that you cannot manage your influence in the earth realm without compassion. Whatever you do, whatever God has called you to do, we're talking about managing and maximizing everything that we are and whatever it is that we have. And the thing that you must understand that how you manage that, you have to do it with a heart of compassion instead of the cold hands of duty. You can't just jump out and say, I'm going to bless someone, and you do it, you know, because of the fact that you feel obligated or you want to feel good about something. Because there are a lot of people who are doing that. I mean, you know, there are organizations that I can name, you know, and I mean, I can sit here and start naming them, and you would know some of them as soon as I started naming them, and they give billions of dollars to other organizations and individuals to help people, but they're not doing it from a heart of compassion. They're doing it because they get paid to do it or because there's some other motive involved. What I need you to understand that God has called us to a level of compassion, and the management of our influence in the earth realm has to be entrenched in it. Compassion is our key to managing our influence in the earth realm. And if we cannot operate in that, then we are going to be doing ourselves and others a disservice. We've been endowed with a measure of God's divine nature, and that divine nature is multifaceted, but it is fueled by compassion. And we understand that Jesus did everything he did. The Bible says that when he did what he did, he said he was moved with compassion because of the people. He saw the people's need, and he moved out to operate in his abilities that God had given him because of the compassion he had for the people that he saw. It's important for you to understand that compassion is a spiritual empowerment for our task. Now, you may be physically empowered. God may have given you some abilities and talents that, you know, that may be very natural for you. Then you may have a knack for them. But we talked about this a few weeks ago, the fact that our spiritual should be our natural. And if your spiritual is your natural, even though God has given you some talent, and you may have the ability to sow, or you may have the ability to preach, to speak, naturally God has blessed you with that ability. You have a knack for it. Maybe you have a knack for writing. Maybe you have a knack for encouraging people. That's something that you just have had since you were a child, and people listen to you and they feel encouraged when they talk to you. But understand that the compassion is the missing factor in many of these things. If you have compassion, that spiritual connection with a human need or the suffering or the hurt, it will stimulate some kind of corrective action, and it will allow you to minister to that need. And that suffering, that hurt, whatever it is a person is going through, it will be dealt with in such a way that God will get through to them, and they will be able to see that it was the Spirit of God, and they will know that it wasn't just human pity that caused you to move in and begin to do those things. When I preach on the prayer line, or when I pray on the prayer line, or when I go out to minister, I know that the compassion that God has given me, it comes through, because what happens is I connect with the people that are sitting in the audience, and I may not have the ability to know every person's situation at the time, but what will happen is when I stand up on that podium and begin to minister, sometimes the notes I have in front of me will become completely insignificant, and I will begin to connect with a need and begin to go to that need, and scriptures will come to me, and I'll begin to speak to that need. And it's because of compassion, because something in me is driven to want to meet a need. And because of that, I will pull out of the people what their needs are. They'll come with needs, and God will give me discernment to know what those needs are, and I'll begin to minister to that need, and they will understand exactly what God was saying because my mouth was open, but it wasn't me that was talking. You might understand what I'm saying. Some of you may have been in the same situation where you have gone to places and you show up and someone's there. It happened to me yesterday. I went to go just pick up the mail. And on the way to pick up the mail, I met two guys, and I'm standing there, and before I know it, the compassion of Jesus just came out of me, and I began to deal with them from a point of their need, some things that they were really lacking, and I knew it by discernment of the Spirit that those things were things that I needed to speak to. And it was so funny. One of the guys was like, I got to be able to get in touch with you again. You know, I mean, can you can stop by here again maybe tomorrow. I got to be able to know how I can understand more of what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I have a relationship with God, but I'm not going to church anywhere. I just stay at home because I don't know where to go. And I know that what you're saying right now is what I need to be hearing, because this is the thing that I believe that God has been wanting me to get, you know, and I know that it's not just me. It's everybody on this line. It's everyone that's going to connect to this information later, because God has dealt each and every one of us a measure of faith, and that measure of faith causes us to act. And it causes us to act in compassion if we are connected with God. Compassion is a character trait of God. And last week and the week before, I talked about the fact that when we are emulating the observable character of God, then we can operate as partakers of God's divine nature, and we can infuse others with what it is that we have learned of God. Understand that, you know, we have to have definitive insight to functioning in ministry and in, you know, whatever it is that God has given us as our life calling out of a heart of compassion. We have to be able to model what God has called us to do from a sensitive, compassionate motivation. And that motivation, it can be cultivated through faith, because it lies dormant within us, you know, as we become believers and as we grow in the Lord, it begins to grow as well. And before we know it, we are fueled to act, and we find ourselves doing things, and we don't even know why we're doing it. We just know we've got to do this one thing that God has called us to do, because if we don't, it feels like something is going to be left undone. That is what compassion will do for you. It's what it will do for you. It will cause you to operate even as God operates, because we know God to be a compassionate God. Write the scripture down and read it later. Psalm 78:38. It speaks of the compassion of God. Psalm 86:15 also speaks of the compassion of God. And then because we're partakers of his divine nature, tells us that in 2 Peter 1:4. And we have access to the compassionate the character of Jesus by faith. In Galatians 3:14, it tells us that we, you know, can take on that nature and operate clearly in what it is that God has called us to do. Now, understand that compassion is a spiritual empowerment for the tasks that God has called us to do as well. It's not just something that will give us the ability to operate, you know, in a level of thought process. I mean, it is an empowerment. I mean, I know I said it before and I explained the definition of compassion, but I want you to understand that when I say it's empowerment, it's like God filling us up with gas, because where your physical attributes and your thought process, even when you have a motivation to help people, where those things will stop from a natural standpoint, compassion takes over. Somebody may not smell very good, and you're standing there trying to help them, and you get a whiff of that smell, and then I'm just being real with you, because we are human beings, and our human, you know, ness sometimes will come out, and we will, you know, have this ability to sense that somebody will need help, and we'll just jump in there, but then we'll get over to where they are, and sometimes they may not speak correct English, or maybe they may curse, and they may say things that don't necessarily fit what it is that we believe believers should be saying. Maybe they're not as astute as we are in the Bible. Maybe they don't know where all the scriptures are, or maybe, for that matter, that they don't have the same level of understanding of who God is as we do, because they may not be as empowered, or they may not be as grown up in God as we are. And compassion
will allow us to overlook all of those things and move forward in helping them and pulling them into where it is that we are, and even pushing them further than where we have gone. I'm explaining to you that compassion will give you the ability to love someone beyond their sin, beyond their hurt, beyond their smell, beyond their appearance, beyond their idiosyncrasies and their quirkiness, and move them into a place of where we do what the scripture talks about, where we're snatching them from the very flame of hell itself to make sure that they're moving in the right area that God wants them to be in. I understand that the power of compassionate ministry is undeniable. When people are receiving you and they sense how compassionate you are and that you really have a genuine desire to help them, they will put down their own idiosyncrasies. They may be prejudiced or have issues with dealing with women or dealing with blacks or dealing with whatever your issue, I mean, their issues are. And they will put down their issues because of your compassion, because of how you come to them. They will begin to deal with you from a different level and will receive from you when maybe they might not have received from anyone else of your same whatever your issue is that they see. 1 Peter 3:8 tells us, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And I know that these are things that you know, but sometimes we forget and we don't operate in the compassion, the same level of compassion as Jesus. We will take on certain mindsets and things will take us over, and we will let those issues come up in us, and it will stop us from doing good. It will stop us from being all that God has called us to be and using everything that God has given us to use because of our own issues. So I'm explaining to you today that even as a casual study of the Word of God just simply shows us that Jesus did everything he did with compassion. Model him. Be like him. Be a true disciple of Jesus and understand that there may be lots of people that are struggling with, you know, their issues and struggling with our issues and struggling with, and I'm using the word issues, and you can replace it with all kinds of stuff, because people struggle with things. They struggle with appearances. They struggle with money. They struggle with lots of stuff that has been put in their way by the enemy to keep them from getting to who it is that God has called them to be. And it is our responsibility to allow the compassion of Jesus to just shine through us, to help to pull them out of the doldrums of life and to get them into a greater natural, and when I say natural now, I'm talking about the spiritual natural sensitivity to operate in the discernment of God and to reach out and move forward in what it is that God has called them to be. Let's look at some of the places where Jesus was compassionate. I want you to write these scriptures down. Mark 1:41 and Matthew 14:14. This is where Jesus showed his compassion for the sick. He showed compassion for the suffering in Matthew 15:32 and Mark 5:19. This is for you to study later, because I know this is a lot of information for me to give you now, but I want you to be able to go back and have this minister to you. Allow God to really minister his word to you in this area. Jesus showed compassion for seekers, people who had a desire to know more, in Mark the 10th chapter and 17th verse. Then he showed compassion for the scattered. And, I mean, this is the work of Jesus. And understand that if Jesus can show compassion for the scattered, we need to as well. Matthew 9:36 and Mark 6:34. He had compassion for sinners. Micah, the 7th chapter and the 19th verse, it actually gave a forecast. It foreshadowed what Jesus was going to come here to do. And Luke 15:20. He had compassion for the saddened, Luke 7:12. Understand that if Jesus can have compassion for all of these, with everything that God had called him to do, as busy as he was, and with what it is that he was focused on, which was getting to the cross, then who are we to say that we're too busy to have compassion, or we're too deep or we're too involved in what it is that God has called us to do, that we can't deal with it from a heart of compassion. I submit to you today that if you would operate with compassion in your ministry, with compassion in your workplace, with compassion in your family, it will reach people that literally have never been reached before, and it will bring them to a lasting deliverance. It will respond to the need. It will give out of a level of stewardship and responsibility that God has called us to have, and it will cause others to respond to what it is that God has given us to share with them in a way that they never have before. Now, I want to give you some wisdom, okay, because we have a few seconds left, but I want to give you some wisdom because you need to understand that compassion is not reckless. It is not, and I have to say this because there are people that have needs that will come and they will, you know, be trying sometimes to get over on us. They will share their need in such a way that they know that we're operating in compassion and we're living our lives in that way, and they don't realize that, you know, we have wisdom. God has given us wisdom and discernment, and we have a way to understand how much we should actually give and how to give it. I want to give you just a little bit of history. Some of you guys have read in Genesis of Joseph, who God made the very first trustee. He was the governor over all of Pharaoh's wealth. We know different parts of the story of Joseph's life, but I'm going to focus on the part in which he was actually governing the wealth of Pharaoh during the time in which the whole nation of people were going through a famine. And it was his responsibility to come up with the criteria of how to give out what it is that was available that would allow people to make it through the famine. So he had to have criteria that would allow the food and all of the other resources that were there to be given out so that it would last a full 7 years, because he knew that the famine was going to be 7 years and they had a certain amount of food and other materials that were there to last them through the famine. And he had to make sure that those things were given out in a way that they did not run out before the famine was over. And he was so good at management, and he was so good at creating a criteria that everyone's needs were met, even those who were in far away lands who came during the famine to get food, including his family members. He was able to have enough to give to them and to make sure that the famine itself did not end with anyone being lacking or anyone dying because of hunger. So one of the most important elements of ministry is that you understand how to minister to people with the wisdom of God, even your family members. Some people will come in your family and they'll always have a need. And sometimes they'll attempt to con and take advantage of the kindness of the saints, the kindness of those in the kingdom. It's a matter of stewardship over kingdom resources and not of skepticism. I'm not telling you to scrutinize people. I'm telling you to have discernment. I'm telling you to go to God and ask him if you should give, because some of the people that we have given to have been people that God never intended for us to give to. And we have to be a good steward of the kingdom resources and not from a position of pity. We have to operate that in such a way that we're not sympathy-driven, or where we're having an emotional response without a purposeful deliberation. We have to distribute the resources accordingly. We have to be spirit-driven, where we understand that God may be dealing with a person in a certain way, and he may not be allowing certain things to happen in their life because of the fact that they're not operating the way they need to be in him. And so in order for them to be driven back to him, maybe they have to go through a time of lack, or maybe they have to go through a time of difficulty, so that they will be drawn to God. And maybe we just have to take them and feed them, but not give them money because they don't know how to utilize their resources appropriately. It's important for us to have a purposeful response based on a spiritual witness. And that means that it's okay for you to look at a person's life and say, you know what, something's going on here. Let me go back to God and see what that is that God would have me do. Sometimes God may only have you pray. And that may be a difficult thing for you because you may be used to giving, and God may be saying, no, do not give at this time, just pray. And it's important for you to know the difference. It has to be stewardship driven. It has to be the product of a conscious, purposeful distribution or deliberation from God. You cannot do it because you are feeling sorry for someone. You have to do it because God is saying, do this out of compassion. There is a need. The other thing is that you got to get rid of your erroneous attitudes in a compassionate community, because unfortunately, there's always going to be misundertakings of different types of ministries and organizations, and there are people who have unreasonable expectations. They will show up on the ministry's door and try to exploit the bereavement fund, or they'll come and try to get access to the benevolence of the ministry, and they will have no intention of utilizing the resources that they get for what their need is. Yes, there may be a need. Maybe they are hungry, but they have a drug problem, and they may take that money and they may use it inappropriately. And God is holding us responsible to make sure that we do our research and we do our homework and we operate out of compassion, but we operate out of wisdom. Do not have an attitude, you know, where you have a misguided expectation. Okay, before you, a person has shown up and they're expecting the church to meet every request, and or they're expecting you as an individual to take care of them when God did not call you to do that. And so basically the bottom line is that you have to listen to the Lord and allow him to tell you when a person has misguided expectations. And they may yell at you and scream at you. They may say that you're not being led of God and you're missing an opportunity. And those are all things that do happen. I mean, I've had it happen where someone would come to me and tell me that God told me to buy their $900,000 house. I'm telling you this, it actually happened to me. Someone sent me a letter. They sent me all this information, and they said God told them I was supposed to buy this house, and I wasn't even in a position to afford or to even have the credit or other resources to buy a $900,000 house for myself. So to buy them one was a total misrepresentation of what God might have been saying to them. I'm not saying that they were lying. I'm just saying that they heard something differently than what was actually said. So the bottom line is that you have to be so grounded in the Word of God and so grounded in who you are in God that when someone shows up and they tell you they have a need, if it is for you to meet that need, you have to know that God is going to give you what it is that you need to meet it, or that it may not be your responsibility at this time to actually give them the money. Maybe it's your responsibility to refer them to someone else who has, or for that matter, to pray with them and to counsel with them and to send them to the next stop where they may get their need met. This is really important information for you to know. The other thing is you have to be aware of malicious exploitation, attempts to take your kindness for weakness. There are people who are, you know, professional beggars, and they are offended by benevolence guidelines, and they don't operate according to what it is that God has said. Read 1 Corinthians 14:40, and make sure that you're aware and astute enough to know the difference. And then you have to be able to minister to need as a good steward. Ask questions of those requesting your assistance. Verify their responses. It's okay for you to verify. I know one of my favorite mentors, he would say, you know, in God we trust, and all others we check out thoroughly. And it's really important for you to do that. Verify the responses to the questions that you ask them. Get wise counsel from others. Never rush into a decision when you're trying to help someone. Unless it's that God is saying, give it to them now, it's okay for you to give it about 30 minutes to make sure that you have committed the situation to prayer and not violating the integrity of the Lord by giving. Never accept responsibility for the consequences when you say no. You know, the Bible tells us to do our giving in secret. Don't make a big deal about it and put it out in the open. That's really important. And then the last thing is stand in faith for the promised return on what it is that you did give. Ephesians 6 and 8 tells us that we're going to receive a reward or a return for what our giving is. Proverbs 19:17 tells us the same thing as does Proverbs 28:27. So understand that it is important for you to be in a position to be a good steward and to understand that your influence is so important to God that he gives you guidelines that of how to put it out into the earth realm to make sure that others are able to receive what it is that God intended for them to receive and not just what it is that you have decided that you were going to give. Well, this has been Pastor P with the PCAST today, and we're going to pray, and then we're out of here. But understand that God intends for us to maximize who we are and what it is that we have. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this word, and we thank you that we are going to use it appropriately, and it will be what it is that you intended it for it to be in our lives today and forevermore. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.